Oh.
No, was she?
Right.
Right, so we'll just say that this is tutorial three, and we're just discussing how we're going to do it. And Bev,
Bev's jumped in.
we've come up with what are we doing?
Introducing this week's exercise, and we've just done a run through of last week's exercise, and we've discussed how you got on and what you filled in your training diary. And I'm handing you now the sheet with all the instructions for what you're going to be focusing on this week. And it's the third standard exercise, which is my heartbeat is calm and regular. So I just want to ask you, first of all, where in the body do you think your heart is located?
I don't think I know. Well, oh, I think if I've been running or something, it may, might, I think I get a heartbeat where, it's somewhere at the top, somewhere here in my chest, I suppose it is. Yes.
Yes, that's right. Sort of slightly towards the left of center in the upper part of the chest. And sometimes, like when we exercise, we may well feel our heart beating in that area, although it's possible to feel a pulse anywhere throughout the body at times, or indeed not at all. Everybody's different in this regard. I myself, often don't feel my heartbeat, and that's perfectly normal for me. So, what I want to ask you first of all, before I just carry on, when I introduce this next exercise and you can see the format that it takes, when you look at that, what kind of response does it produce in you? What do you feel about that exercise?
I don't know, I don't really think about my heart.
Okay.
No, I'm a bit worried if it's not calm and regular. If I focus on it, maybe it won't be.
Okay, and in your usual normal everyday waking kind of awareness, do you sense that your heart is calm and regular, or is it completely out of awareness? It's not even something you consider.
Yeah, no, I haven't considered it until you brought it up.
Yeah, until I've mentioned that. So what we're going to do today is we're going to do an exercise. We're going to run through it, and I'm going to suggest that you bring your attention lightly just to that area in your chest, whilst maintaining a passive awareness and noticing anything else that might arise in the body. How does that sound?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Okay, and you notice, sorry, did you have a question?
Well, no, it's all right. Well, I mean, my dad died of a heart attack, so that's in my mind. That's all. That's fine. I mean, listen,
Yeah,
just
well, I'm sorry to hear that, and obviously that's just come to your mind right now, that you might be mindful of that. And if it's something that you want to, talk about after we do the exercise, we can discuss that.
Okay, but I'm also a nurse, and so I'm quite sort of medically aware, so that's all right too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And you've not had any investigations into your heart at all? No. Okay. Thank you. So that's it. That's how I would explain
How
it.
you would explain it? Yes, well, of course, we're not going to go ahead and do it, are we? Because that's going to take
No,
too much time.
that's how I would explain
Yes.
it, having never
Yes.
done it before or prepped for it.
Yes, no, well done. So you did really well. Absolutely, absolutely. Yes.
Jane,
Yes, Pia.
I got a just in my notes when I said ask Jane and Donna, it says here suggest 6 to 8 repetition to help the brain accept the single phrase representing 3 or 4 weeks work. What does that all mean? That didn't make sense to me.
That is all about the phrase, my arms and legs are heavy and warm. So I don't know, I can't remember now how that's positioned on the sheet, but it's nothing to do with the heartbeat formula.
Are you sure?
Yes. So what are you looking at? A client sheet or?
No, I just copied and pasted from the sheet, and I thought that doesn't make sense to me. That
from which sheet?
Come out of alignment.
I'll have a look.
It doesn't refer. It's. I mean, because there are 3 or 4 weeks' work. There is in the phrase. My heart, my arms and legs are heavy and warm, and that's why we repeat that phrase several times. But it's not about the new phrase. So, okay. I think Donna's right. It must be misaligned in some way.
I haven't got the sheets. No. I can go and get them if you want me to.
I remember reading it, and it was definitely on the heaviness sheet because I thought, oh, that's nice. And I think...
Well, it's not on the heaviness sheet. Because it's
heaviness
about...
Heaviness light, you mean?
It's about heaviness. It's heavy and warm.
Yeah.
So it won't be on the heaviness sheet. It is in the heartbeat one, I'm sure, because that's when we first introduced this. I'm now going to go and have a look.
I'll go and get my folder out.
I'll get my folder out too, because
It's much quicker on a folder. Let's do that.
I just saw it and I thought that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, if it doesn't make sense, you're absolutely right to clarify it.
Client sheet, introduction to cardiac awareness, standard exercise 3. It says my arms and legs are heavy and warm times several.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So I think you found something else in the training notes then, Pia, because the client sheet doesn't say everything that you've just said.
I know what it is. It's on page 2. I know what it is. So it's a theory and practice of the standard exercise 3, the cardio, and it just says it, introducing the new exercise format, give out the sheet when you want to, recapping on the trigger phase, explaining the concept of heavy and warmth, working together in tandem with the phrase, my arms and legs are heavy and warm. So just 6 to 8 repetition to help the brain. Okay.
Yeah. So that is not from the client sheet, but of course from the notes in the blue section of your folder. So page 2 is in the cardiac system exercise section.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so that's
you cut and pasted it, and actually it shouldn't go on your client system, on the client notes, I don't think.
No, this was only for me.
For you.
I wanted to see why it was here.
Yeah, but it refers to that phrase and that phrase only. Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Cool.
Bev, I thought you did very well there, and I liked the way that you put it in context right at the start.
Yeah.
So here we are on week 5 or whatever we're on, and so we've just had our feedback because you put it in the context for the recording. But actually, whenever you're explaining anything, it's a good idea to have that context. So, yes, now we're introducing our new one. I always actually say, let's just read through it. So we're starting, as usual, with our trigger phrase. And we're going, arms and legs are heavy and warm. However, that's when you need to explain that that is going to be 6 or, it doesn't matter, several times. Look at that. It's not just 3. It's more than. And we're putting that in because, of course, we've got arms and legs are heavy and warm. There's a lot of work that's gone in there. So we're repeating that phrase more often.
And that's just on this week because it then drops back to 3.
It does. Although a lot of people can keep it going that like that because a lot of people like it and they might do it 5 or 6 times as a routine. So that's up to them. That's up to them. But for, certainly for this week, we're putting, after great long warmth, it's quite a short exercise unless we give it a little bit of extra length in that place, and it's an ideal place for it to be. It can also be repeated more than 3 times, like we were talking about mantras this morning. That it just sort of helps that general, I was going to say disintegration, I don't mean that, I mean descendancy, that sort of moving down into, and then we're going to put our new formula in. So do draw people's attention to that one. Mm. It's not the end of the world if they don't do extra repetitions on that, but yes. And And then the new formula, my heartbeat is calm and regular. Then we're going to finish with neck and shoulders and peace. I always spell it out. I don't know about you, Donna, but every single week I spell it out from the beginning to the end, what the new exercise is. And then they've got their place to put the heartbeat one.
Yeah.
In. And you can also link it up because, of course, warmth was all to do with circulation. And the heart is the very center of the body dealing with that very thing. It is the heart of the circulation, I sometimes say. So we've got a sort of linkage going from the start. We've had heaviness to start with the muscle relaxation. Then, of course, the circulation, it joins in with a bit of warmth. If the blood vessels are nicely relaxed, that's going on in the warmth exercise. And here we are now going to the very heart of that circulation. But all the work is done. Good place. Takes care of us, sort of idea. So some linking up. You'll get, honestly, 5 minutes of doing this once, and you'll start to realise that each exercise links with the next. And if we put those links in, I think that's nice for people. Donna, have you got any other?
Just going back to, you always read it out to them. I definitely do that. And then it helps them when I'm leading them through it, they're not jumping. They know what's coming. So it's not, oh, arms and legs, oh, heartbeat.
Ooh.
Or I've sort of said to them, right, I'm going to say this once and this three times or several on. So I spell it out to them what I'm going to do. So they know.
And they are reading it through as well, which is another.
Yes.
You know, yeah. It's all part and parcel, isn't it? Of just familiarizing themselves before they've actually done it.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yes, that's very nice. Yes. So, okay. And then, of course, you would do the exercise. So what's the next bit? What are the absolute and relative contraindications?
Oh, that is if they have had any, undergone any cardio surgery or suffered any in the last 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
The absolute.
That's the absolute. Although, of course, in the end, it's not absolute. I mean, absolute would be you would never, ever, ever teach this under any circumstances. And of course, what you've just described is the relative ones, which is waiting a bit of time.
Children under 10?
Sorry?
Children under 10?
Under 10. Oh, yes, good point. We don't usually give it to children under 10. You're absolutely right. Yes.
Yep.
Having said that, who have I taught? I taught somebody of 11 and I didn't miss anything out. So there we are, because they were quite mature and they knew what, you know. So again, you can feel your way on that one.
Okay.
And actually, I'm, you know, I think that 3 to 6 months, I think 3 months is fine.
Okay.
And okay. Some people really, when they've had surgery, they want something to help their recovery and their anxiety as quick as possible. So I think that those two things are really quite, are overcautious, to be honest.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. I would say that when someone has had surgery, the state of the body at that time is they've probably got a well-functioning heart for the first time for a long time. They might have had the major stuff, the bypass surgeries, or they might have had a stent put in. But actually, if we're looking at autogenics to help recovery, why not bring it forward? I don't think we really need to worry about it. I would be more worried about teaching the heartbeat formula if someone was waiting for surgery.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's like it's opposite. Yeah,
yes.
It's weird.
Yes. So I wouldn't, I would always say to that, well, let's wait till after your surgery and the job is done. And then we would, I've never taught anybody in that situation. But
maybe
that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and obviously, again, I'm not a medical professional, but maybe there's something about seeing how the procedure, the medical procedure they might have had done, has been implemented. You know, the follow-up, making sure they've had a follow-up, that everything's tickety-boo, so to speak. Yeah, rather than doing it straight away.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's a really good landmark when they've had their post-op checkup and all is well.
Yeah.
Why not? That sounds a brilliant notion. You see, that's where we put common sense into what we do. Mm. Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely. We're going to rewrite all these tutorials, aren't we, Donna? Right. How would you deal with, what's the word I put in there, reactions to this formula?
Adverse reactions you put.
Yeah, I think we've got an old copy. Have I changed it in your copy, Bev?
Yeah, it just says, how would you deal with adverse reactions?
Oh, it still says adverse. We've had a long conversation about this because actually there's no such thing, I believe, there's no such thing as an adverse reaction. There's only the autogenic response. There's only the response that you're getting from this. It's a judgmental word, adverse.
Yeah.
So I thought we had talked about it and I thought I had changed it to something like uncomfortable.
I thought we were just going to put reactions, strong reactions.
Or strong reactions. Thank you.
Strong is the word we...
Yes, because then strong could go either way, in whatever way, however. Yes, we did. You're quite right. And so have I sent you the wrong document? Hey-ho. Because I think that makes more sense. I think adverse makes us worry that autogenics can bring up something adverse. And, of course, we know that that doesn't happen.
Mm.
It might feel uncomfortable, which is different.
Mm.
Or strong. Yes, you're quite right, Donna. That was it, wasn't it? Yeah. So what would you say then?
Well, I did it with the adverse reaction because that's what it said.
That's fair enough.
To reduce it just to one exercise, to one repetition.
Mm-hmm.
What am I saying here? Reduce the cardio exercise to reduce the number of repetitions to one.
Yeah, that's it. One statement we can say, yes. Yes. And then why do we do that?
Pardon?
Why would we reduce, what happens when we reduce it to one that would make it better than three?
Well, if they have a reaction to it, it just takes the sting out of it.
Yes. Okay. Because they're moving on swiftly, aren't they? They're not staying with it for too long.
They're not staying with
the key thing. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then I said postpone. I said that then we could do the holding exercise to help the system to settle down again if it needed to.
That'd be lovely. Yes.
And what else did I say? And then to omit. What I've read here was that if they were had to omit the formula, when would you then try it again?
Well, this is interesting, isn't it?
There was this, and I wanted to ask you about this because then we could forget all about it and then take it up after the course. Is that correct?
That's very often. I think that's what we mean when we say postpone. Because you omit it for now, and no one's even going to think about it until much later on, and then you can put it in again then, and that will probably be fine. In reality, Donna, I expect you haven't come across anyone where we've had to leave it out, have you?
No.
Very rare.
Okay.
It's often a question mark. People aren't really quite sure at the start. But I would never jump in with that kind of advice or some. Yes, I do. I've sort of at the end of that particular session, I say, look, if there's any queries you've got or you're unsettled in any way, then please email me. I say that at the end of every session anyway. But actually, if you're really not getting on with it, it's absolutely fine to leave it out. Just do the exercise without it. And be quite casual about it. And as long as you give them that, then the chances are that a couple of days later, they'll put it back in. So,
Okay.
But using it once is very useful. I've had a number of people who just used it once. They come back the next week, say, I'm all right now. It suddenly popped up again in twice or three times. And I was fine. And I've suddenly realised I've made friends with my heart.
Oh, okay. How beautiful. How lovely. Very good.
So there we are.
That's beautiful.
But you're quite right. Perfect. Reduce, omit, postpone is the standard answer to any formula that we're not quite getting on with. And you've just described them beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Reduce the number. Oh, there's another way that we can reduce, but we couldn't with this. We'll We won't worry. All right, I will say it now because we've raised the question.
What are we going to say? The periphery of my heart.
Yeah, well, exactly. You're quite right.
Slightly regular.
No. So you cannot reduce the area, but that's exactly what the question was referring to. Well done, Bev. Yes, yes. Oh, I'll just have a beat, thanks.
My heartbeat's calm, but not regular.
Ah, oh, this is another question I ask, actually. Thank you very much, Bev. Heartbeat calm and regular. Do you have a sense of what the most important word in there might be?
Regular.
Yes. You've heard me ask this question before. Do you remember the answer, Pia? Why would we say that?
Because a lot of people are scared with the irregular. Is that what you mean?
Well, actually, it isn't what I mean. This is it's quite an interesting concept to put across to the clients that of course, we are very concerned, aren't we? Very often, if we are aware of the heartbeat, if it is regular and if it's behaving itself and doing all the right things. And if it isn't, then we might get a bit worried. And that, of course, can make the heartbeat a little bit worse and so on. But I do suggest, even though people want to say calm is the most important word, I suggest that regular is actually the most important word. Mm. It doesn't mean that it's going to be the metronome regular beat. It doesn't necessarily mean that. What it is doing at every instant of every single day is responding to what is going on in the body, in the mind, in whatever is happening around us or whatever. It regularizes itself in an instant according to anything at any time. Mm. Now that puts in place an understanding, because it doesn't actually have to be that regular beat. It might speed up for its own reasons, for whatever reason, and we allow it and we accept it. And in that sense, I put that point, it's only my own style of teaching, I'm not saying it goes into textbooks, but regularizing is what it's doing. And if we go along with that concept, then we're not going to get worried if it doesn't feel absolutely on the button.
Yeah, that's brilliant, Jane, that is.
Mm.
Very good.
Yeah, because I always thought the heart had to be regular. And then with my old dog, because she's got a murmur, and the vet said, no, that's quite normal. As in, you know, that when I'm listening for her heartbeat, that sometimes the rhythm changes. And she said, oh, don't worry about that. You know, and I thought, oh, okay, yeah. Learning yeah. something here.
Yeah. And it's yes, so it's regularizing according to a situation. I mean, that's an absolute given. And, you know, the fact that it can switch into the adrenaline mode when we're in danger in an instant and raise the heartbeat and off we are, ready for fight and flight when we need to run. It's miraculous. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So that's quite useful. Okay. Right. Are we ready for the rationale for introducing the intentional crying exercise?
Mm. Mm. If they have headaches or pressure feelings of the forehead and the temples, they have tics, coughing spells, and if they have sneezing fits. And I wonder, I was thinking when I read this, a lot of people, they like they have a dry cough, but they don't cough, but they...
No, like it's clearing their throats a lot, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Is that as well? Good. Mm. That's what I was thinking. You know, it's the yawning, the twitches of neck and shoulders, flickering eyelids, aches in joints, feeling low.
You have found the list of crying need symptoms. Yeah. That's what you're reading from, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's great. Yeah.
It's a very useful.
Very, very useful. Yeah.
Now, when you're introducing the crying exercise for the first time, because what I'm hearing from you, Pia, just then, is that you, if somebody had some of those things, that when you would say do the crying exercise. Yeah. But if someone didn't even know what the crying exercise was, where are you going to start in introducing it?
Oh, what I will say is that it could be really, really helpful, because we don't know what's in the unconscious. And it could be useful just to actually let the body let go of something that we might not even know it's there. Okay. And I'll say it might be an idea to do the dry crying, and now we'll explain what the dry crying is. And
I would go the other way, because if you start talking about dry crying and why would we want to do it in any way, I would actually explain it first. But let's put the context in, as Bev did at the beginning, when you were saying, okay, we've just done our group and we've just done our report on the week. Okay, so where are you going to, in the context of the whole course, how are you going to introduce the crying exercise? At what point, and what will you pick up?
The crying is with the heart, isn't it?
It's a heart. That's when I do it. It doesn't have to be, but it can be. It can be. But yes, okay, so it's in that week. So what else? What other offloading exercises have you already taught by that point?
The motor garbage and the noise garbage and the anger.
And the anger, yes. Yeah. Okay. So now this is when you're sitting down with your client, having perhaps done the heartbeat formula, and then you've perhaps done an exercise. Now we're going to learn a new offloading exercise. So do you remember those? And people will look at you like this. Well, have you done? Do you remember we did the shakeout a little while ago and the noise? Oh, yes, yes. Are you doing any of those? No, I'd forgotten all about them. So those are the things that happen. And then you say, well, we did talk about the anger exercise last week. And of course, you've already told me that you had a couple of goes at that. And well done, because that's great. And we've got another one today. But first of all, I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to read out quite a long list of symptoms that we all get from time to time. So you're not telling them what it is first. If you don't tell them what it is, then they won't build up their resistance to, oh my God, I've got to cry, have I? Oh God. So you don't want that. So these are common or garden symptoms that we all have from time to time. And they're not illnesses. There's no diagnosis. This might be a Saturday morning of annoyance and then it's gone away, and another week of something else. It's not serious. It goes away, it comes, and so on. So all of these symptoms are those sorts of symptoms. And you read them all out. Don't give them a sheet, because they will see at the top that they are crying need symptoms. So I read them all out. And when I've read them out, then I say, okay, were any of those familiar to you? And most people, not that I've logged it seriously, but most people have got more than 80%. That's their own calculation. I say at the beginning, when I get to the end of this, just sort of see, and it doesn't mean about last week. It means at any time in your life you've had any of these. And then you've got them.
I think this is so clever. Mm. So clever.
I don't know if you do it like this, Donna.
Yes, I do, because if you mention the crying,
you put them off straight away.
I had a group yesterday with the anger, because I'm doing that next week, and when I said about anger, I had that wall, and then I started talking and the wall's already come down, so they can't wait for the anger now.
Exactly, yes, that's brilliant.
And it's
well
the
done.
Same very principle cool. with the crying.
Yes,
right. I don't
tell them that it's about crying. But just as an exercise, how many of these symptoms have you recognised in yourself several times? Then, when you've got their answers, then you're going to say something like, well, actually, these symptoms are known in our autogenic world as crying need symptoms.
So good.
And then people are curious. Mm. And it was Luther, in his research, realised that very often the body is holding on to emotions. That's what stops us doing our AT sometimes. And that perhaps people haven't cried enough. And we have to remember his generation. He's in the 1970s, talking about people about the 1960s and 50s, wartime. People didn't cry. They were stoic. They kept their lips buttoned up. We've got the language, haven't we? The stiff upper lip. And we've got the, you know, which is all about if my lip isn't stiff, then I'm going to cry. So, yeah. So we have all the avoidance methods for avoiding. We have all the methods for avoiding crying. And most of us have used them. And some of us have had good reason to use them.
Do you know, I want to tell you a little story, if I may.
Go on. We love stories.
I was watching a bit of recap on the BBC iPlayer on my laptop of the Glastonbury performance. And there was a female singer on stage, and her introduction was, you know, the Glastonbury organisers were taking a bit of a risk with her. And clearly she was slightly overcome with just being invited to come and sing. And there were so many people. She was on the main stage and she had the microphone, and this is, she's holding it away and she's going, "Stop crying, stop crying, stop crying." And all I kept thinking of is, yeah, just the whole suppression of the crying need in her. And I really hope that afterwards she goes and processes some of that.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, what a story. That's what we do. No, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to give way. I'm going to be strong. No, we're strong if we cry and we let it out.
I think this is so English.
Yes, you are right.
I really do. Yeah.
It is German and English.
Yeah.
And Dutch.
Yes. Oh, right. Oh, okay. Okay.
My husband's Dutch, so they're not generally emotional people either.
Really? I think it's a lot better now. In all these years I've been teaching autogenics, I mean, the men are more likely to cry than they used to be. Or put it the other way, women are more likely to keep it in control than they used to be, maybe.
Wow.
Because the little woman was sort of laughed at. It was just the sort of little woman, oh, there she goes again, crying and so on. So sometimes in holding their own in a male environment, for example, perhaps the women are now teaching themselves not to cry. Anyway, the point is, though, that most people have got crying need of some kind or another, and that it's actually a really good idea to use. Aha, this is what's coming up. I'm teaching it now. Going to teach you the intentional crying exercise. What's that? They all say. And you can say, well, the wonderful thing about this exercise is that you do not have to feel bad. You do not have to feel sad. Your mascara need not run. You do not have to think about anything in particular. You are literally exercising the crying mechanism. That's all we're doing. So I'm going to demonstrate it in a short while, and you're all going to laugh or cry at yourselves. It doesn't matter what your own reaction is, but I'm going to do pretend crying. It means I'm not thinking of anything bad or sad, but I am mimicking the body's actions when it is crying. So here it comes, and I might well take my glasses off, which I can do now with my new eyes, or not that it matters. And then so then the crying face isn't very pretty, so I will cover my face. Okay, and off I go. Okay, I'm going to stop. And everybody's, ooh. So it's a bit weird. I know it's a bit weird. And then I ask what they felt about it. And some people say, well, I actually wanted to laugh. And then, yes, laughing and crying are actually just the different sides of the same coin, because the action of laughter is and the action of crying is. But actually, the facial expression is the one that's different. And of course, if we're doing it genuinely, we'd be feeling very different, whichever we were doing. But it is interesting how a really, really, really good belly laugh with all our friends out to dinner one night, and you can't stop laughing, and then suddenly you're crying. Wow, that's an extraordinary switch. It's extraordinary to experience. But hey, it shows how closely they are. We are doing the mechanisms of crying. using the mechanism, the baby does big proper sobs. And, oh, you've got a granddaughter. How wonderful. Next time she's crying, just look at how the whole body is involved.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, absolutely amazing.
It's amazing.
And the little mouth can go. And So all of that is just, we're so lucky as human beings. That's another thing I put in, to be able to cry. We are so lucky. And then we don't use it. We think we've got to be strong and not cry. Yeah. Bev.
Yeah, I wonder if you ever make a connection when introducing this exercise to the anger offloading one that they might have done, and how that can lead to crying. Because I find often underneath my anger is some perceived or real hurt.
Absolutely. Yeah. And hurt is one of the words I introduce with the anger exercise. You know, we usually think of hurt as just being pain. And of course, the pain can be an angry pain, an emotional pain. Absolutely. So yes, what do I do? Yes, with the anger exercise, I always say, look, hey, anger is an emotion, but it's not in a box by itself. And it might be that when you do this, you can suddenly feel tearful. So go along with it. Have a bit of a cry. I don't explain any of this, but at least open that door for that.
I love what you said last time when we talked about this, when we learned this, where you said, you know, you never hear anyone say I had a bad cry.
Yeah.
I love that one. It's like, oh, yeah, it's true too.
It's a always revelation. Good to cry. It's always a good cry. Everybody always says they had a good cry. They might have had a bad time doing it, but it was good to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when you come out the other side, or you wake up the next morning or whatever, that's, hey, glad I did that. Yes. So that's the that's about introducing the crying. So I rather took over there, but I think.
No, but this was good. This was good.
Yes, and it always set the context, and so you know, with any of these questions, think before it. What have we done that marries up with some of this? Oh yes, we did the anger exercise last week. So we said, well, you remember that? You remember that? So we are with your client, and then, well, actually, do this symptom thing. I think I'm the only person in the society who does it, because I think people forget about it, about reading out the symptoms. And it's what Luther did with us.
Yeah.
Well, I have said it to you before when we were talking about this before, and I obviously said bad cry, but actually do it this way, read out the symptoms, because I always teach it like this. So you have had it from me before, I am pretty certain. And so it's surprising how that gets lost. Yes, it doesn't stick there. It will today.
Today it will, yeah.
And so and Luther did this with us back in the day. And there were 25 people sitting in the room. And as he went through that list, and actually we did know that they were crying need symptoms, because he had said it and he'd already introduced it that way. And here they are. And each one I had at that very moment while I was sitting there. And then I was rummaging in my bag because I had a horrible runny nose and I hadn't got any tissues. And my back suddenly started flaring up with pain. I don't get back pain. And I was just sitting in the chair. And I had to stand up in the middle of that room when he had finished his list and say, please, has anybody got a tissue I could have, please? I've got a runny nose. I've got every single cry need that has just been read to us. And my back is hurting and my nose is like, I want to go home. No, I wasn't quite like that, but it was quite funny. And I was laughing at myself because either it was auto-suggestion or, well, it probably was auto-suggestion, but there we go. And so I was laughing at myself, but I was also fascinated that my nose had just started running furiously for no reason whatsoever, which sold me on these crying need symptoms. And over the years, when people are reporting some of these crying need symptoms as part of their autogenic reports, that's the time to remind them, as long as they've had it in the first place, of course, to remind them, have you done any crying exercises? Oh yeah, I don't want to do that one. That's where we get the resistance. Well, actually, we've got these symptoms. So that's exactly what they are. You probably do need to cry. And of course, the one word I haven't used, which is a very important one, psychosomatic.
Yeah.
All of these symptoms are psychosomatic. They are of the mind, psycho, represented or manifesting in the body, somatic. And when people understand that actually psychosomatic symptoms are genuine symptoms, of course they are, but they actually have an emotional origin. And by dealing with the emotions or addressing those, we can actually help the symptoms. It's huge. So I hope you will see how I should be interested to know how you get on with reading out the symptoms before you tell them what it's about.
Oh, I think it's great. I'll remember that one now.
And you need to be familiar, of course, with the crying exercise yourself. Otherwise, you'll never have the courage to demonstrate it.
It works. It's amazing.
It works. Yes. It works. And when you say it works, if you're a client, I'm going to ask you, so what do you mean by it works? What happened?
I was absolutely amazed. And I think I talked about this last time. Or I talked to somebody about it, where I found a friend of mine, unfortunately, that I've had for many years, that she's a narcissist. And yes, it just shook me so much, you know. And there was no tears, no nothing. I think I was in shock.
Yes.
Finding out that this good friend, yes, you know, that I realized that she was actually a covert narcissist as well. And I said, this is just, and I thought, what a good idea. Now I'm going to try this crying, because I couldn't cry. And I was just sitting. So I made sure that I actually sat down with, you know, yes, shoulders down.
Yes.
With like this very depressive way, mm-hmm, of sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this dry crying. I'll never forget it, because I felt so good afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I started to cry.
And you did. Yes.
But it took some time.
Yes.
It took some time. But yes, it was so... I'll never forget that this exercise, never,
no,
because
no,
it
no,
was so good for me.
It's very powerful.
Yeah, very powerful.
All we've got to take, we've just take care when you hear somebody using the word it works, or more likely it didn't work.
Yeah.
And then especially with the crying exercise, it didn't work. What's that about? What happened? So you did the crying exercise. Tell me about it. Well, I couldn't keep it going for very long, and I felt really silly, and it didn't make me cry. So, okay, they've written it off. So I said, well, firstly, you did it. Well done. You did it for 30 seconds, maybe? Well, I think I might have made it a bit longer. Well done. You did more than 30 seconds. And pretend crying is quite a challenge to do that. It really is. It doesn't have to lead to real crying. You can go on doing the intentional crying, dry crying, for as long as you like. And it doesn't mean it isn't working. When you wake up tomorrow morning, maybe an old symptom that you haven't been able to shake off, maybe it's gone because you did that crying exercise. So it never doesn't work.
And I'll probably say to them as well that it's to give the body the experience of the actual exercise.
Yeah.
And the body will know what to do. That's what I was
Well, yes, exactly. And as Luther put it very clearly, we are exercising the crying mechanism. You know, we have a mechanism for crying and it goes like this, and we're giving it some exercise, and that's all we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very clear about not getting into emotions. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't or we mustn't, mm-hmm, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have to. Mm-hmm. It'll do its job.
Mm-hmm.
I had a time in my life when I decided I was going to cry every morning in the shower because I knew there would be a lot to do. And I decided I'm going to be ahead of the game. I'm going to just do crying exercises, however I'm feeling, doesn't matter, every morning in the shower for a fortnight. And I did. So if you clock that up about 3 minutes ago for 2 weeks, I can't even do that sum. That's can you do 3 times 14? That's nearly an hour of intentional crying. When did you last cry for nearly an hour? But the whole body is doing it. It's better for you. I've come to the conclusion it's better for us than real crying.
Wow. This is amazing.
Because it's intentional.
Mm,
right. That's why these exercises are so clever. Because the autogenic exercises are the spontaneous outcomes and all of that and the gentle stuff. But we've got these as an intent. And so that was an intent of mine. I knew I'd got a lot to deal with and to help myself get through those days of dealing with it. A fortnight of intentional crying in the shower. No big deal. Nobody could hear me. I've got water going on anyway, so it didn't matter.
Wow. Fascinating. Okay.
Or another way, I don't know if you've done this, Donna, but put it into a mathematical sum. Suppose, you know, if somebody's doing crying, but they're not doing it very long, 30 seconds is all they can manage. Okay, well, suppose you did 30 seconds more Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's 7 days of 30 seconds. That's 3.5 minutes. Well done. You've done intentional crying for 3.5 minutes in the whole week. At the end of a fortnight, you'll have done 7 minutes. At the end of the month, you'll have done 14 minutes. 14 minutes of this strange crying, but you'll have given your body a huge favour. And the other thing, and this must be my last word on this, we are taking too long, but I've never found this crying exercise anywhere else in anything I've done, you know, any other reading or workshops or... How about you, Donna? Has anybody ever said this?
Never.
No.
Everybody says how good it is to cry.
Yeah.
And they all right. think it's got to be splish, splosh, splash with loads of tissues. No.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Where are we? It's 4:10. Are we going to plough through and finish without a tea break, or are you in need of a tea break? And it's Pierre I'm thinking of, I think.
I'm happy with tea break. I'm happy. Whatever you want. If you want a tea break.
I think okay what I've got to do is we're very long on these, but actually these have been very useful, haven't they?
Well, they've been fantastic.
Yes.
Really good.
Yeah, okay.
I would appreciate ploughing through if no one else happens, only because I need to go and cook my mum's dinner and I'm going out this evening.
You're going out? Wow. Okay. Okay. But well, look. Okay.
If everyone else wants a tea break, I'm fine.
Well, I mean to say, no, I don't think we will. We'll heed you. Since if Pierre's all right, let's see what we can perhaps skate over. I'm being a bit naughty here, but record keeping and how you might audit your work. Now, we do have a session later on about a little bit of audit and research. So record keeping, do keep notes and keep them under lock and key. And that might be the only thing that we have to say at this moment.
Check with your insurance company.
And check how long to keep them. Absolutely. The code of practice and code of ethics are all in your notes, so you can read them. You know what, you've read them already, I'm quite sure. So don't let's worry about that. We've talked, you understand the importance of ongoing supervision. I don't think we need worry about having to talk about it.
No, this is so super important.
So, okay, number three is done.
That's quick.
I'm going to suggest we jump to the last question now because it ties in so neatly with the first question. So the first one was about heartbeat and now we're going to breathing. So would one of you like to say what you've got about the breathing formula, which is question 5, and then we'll come back to the other ones in number 4.
You mean the absolute contra indications? Is that what you mean?
Now, what have we done? No, I'm still on tutorial 3 on that page, and we had the heartbeat formula at the top. Sorry. Now that was question 1. Now we'll jump to question 5, which is the breathing formula. because it just follows on neatly from the heartbeat one.
Mm. Like Bev introduced it so wonderfully, yes. The heartbeat.
Yes.
Here, do you want to introduce It Breathes Me?
It Breathes Me? Yeah, what can I say about that?
Pretend we are your group.
Okay, so we've basically, I'll go through what we did last week, which was the heart. Yeah.
Yes. So we've just done that exercise, haven't we? Because we've just arrived. That's fine. Yeah. And we've had our feedback, haven't we?
Yeah. And we wrote the diary and the feedback. So we've done all that. Mm-hmm. And then I would say the next one that we go in and that follows very naturally after the heart is the It Breathes Me.
And I wouldn't say that at the start, sorry.
What would you say?
Well, here is the new sheet. And then I let them find out what it is for themselves.
Okay.
Okay. You know It Breathes Me. But actually, if you want to give it a name, respiration, we're going to breathing this week. Mm-hmm. But It Breathes Me before they've even known quite what it is. It could be off-putting. That's all.
No, you're right. You are so right. You are so right. What would I do, actually?
Well, we've lumped you in it. You weren't ready for this, Pia, were you? So it's unfair.
Not really.
That's my fault. Well.
No, that's all right. That's okay. I'm totally blank, to be quite honest. Totally blank.
You're totally, oh, and of course it's the middle of the night for you. Okay, well, let's go to, we've got to where
it's
we are.
It's 1:10.
It's 1:10, you see. Oh. Then we start picking to pieces whether you say breathes or something else. Hey, come on. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
Dave, would you like to take it up? Or shall we whistle through it?
I'll give it a go, yes. Picking up then from where Pia left off. So here is the sheet. And what we're going to do is read through the new exercise, which I'm just going to get hold of. And this week's exercise focuses on respiration. So we're going to be using my right arm is heavy as the trigger, as we've done in the previous week. My arms and legs are heavy and warm, times 3. My heartbeat is calm and regular, times 3. And then the new formula this week, It Breathes Me, times 3. My neck and shoulders are heavy, times 3. I am at peace, times 3. And then we close, but only after you've done 3 rounds of the exercise.
Can I ask? So wait a minute. So it's the same exercise as last week. Is that right? Just with one new sentence in.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I've got that. Well, that's easy because I've been doing the heartbeat. Right. So what did you say? You said close at the end and then.
Yes.
So now ask us, Bev, what does it say? Get the question from your group. Get the answer from your group.
I'm a bit confused about what you're doing right now.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. I've come out of role. I was being a non-understanding client. Okay. But what you can do as the trainer, because they are looking at the sheet, I'll say to them, so what comes next? Quite important, that last bit right under the exercise, and somebody will pipe up and say, oh, close after the 3rd round only.
Right. So you have
to get it right.
I get you. So instead of always sort of explaining, is actually getting them to work it out and ask questions and figure it out because they'll learn it. Perhaps it will land better with them. Got you. I understand what you were doing. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. No, sorry. I was confused.
So what is different this week is that instead of closing after each exercise, we're going to be spending more time in the autogenic state and closing after the third exercise. Now, if at any point you feel uncomfortable or any discomfort with discharges, you know how to close. It's familiar to you now. So do close. If you feel that you want to close after each exercise still, that's perfectly okay. I'll leave that up to you to see how you feel during the week, and you can report back to me then next week. We'll see how you got on.
Can I ask something? So if we're not going to close and we're going to go back to the beginning, do we use right arm heavy? What happens? How do we do it?
So I am at peace is said silently in the mind three times. Mm-hmm. And then we go back to my right arm is heavy times one as the trigger phrase. And then repeat my arms and legs are heavy and warm times three.
Donna?
Yeah.
Do we need the trigger phrase again if we're already in the state though?
You don't have to use that. You can just go straight into my arms and legs are heavy and warm.
Yeah. We haven't actually closed and come out of it, so we don't need the trigger to go back in. So, yes. Well done.
So, it breathes me. You might find that to be an interesting structure for the respiratory exercise that we're doing in terms of the wording. And what we're looking at here is increasing the passivity. We do have conscious control over our breathing, and what we're doing is letting go and allowing the breathing to do what it wants to do and to breathe itself. And whether that's your body being the it or something else that you consider it to be, that's absolutely fine. What we will do in the exercise is we'll take a moment to just observe the breath, and then we'll say the statement, it breathes me, and we'll return then to observing the breath again, and then say the statement, it breathes me. So we're allowing the breath to happen, and we're observing it passively with passive awareness, as we've been learning to do during the exercises. And often you may find this brings about a deeper state of relaxation. You might find yourself breathing deeper, and you might find that your breathing comes from a deeper place in your body, such as the abdomen rather than the upper part of your chest. Any questions about this week's exercise before we go and do it ourselves together?
Well, I've never breathed properly. People have told me all my life that I don't breathe properly. So how are we supposed to do it?
Okay, when you say you've never breathed properly, do you have a respiratory condition that's been diagnosed, or do you just sense that you struggle to breathe?
Oh, it's not struggling to breathe, but I've done quite a bit of sort of different meditations and techniques and this isn't that and the others. And yes, I did have a breathing condition when I was a child. But no, it's just that, well, every time I go to somewhere or other, I'm just told that I'm not breathing properly. And then I'm told I've got to count to four and I've got to hold it for eight. And then I've got to do something else and done something else. And whatever I do, it just doesn't feel useful.
Yeah. And what about you? You've mentioned that other people have told you that, you know, you can't breathe properly. Do you feel that you can breathe properly? Like, are you aware of your breath during the day? Does it feel uncomfortable to you?
Yes. I just go about my daily business, and I can't feel that there's anything wrong with me. Yes, that's interesting. We won't take any more time on this, Bev, but it is other people who are telling me that I'm not breathing properly. So that's interesting. I'll take that into the exercise as a thought. Thank you.
Yes, Pia.
I think people would probably ask about this. This is why I'm saying I go to yoga and I have to focus on my breath going in through the nose. Do I have to do that in this exercise too?
No. The thing that we want to be aware of is the breathing happening naturally you know, by letting go of conscious control and just observing the breath, however it chooses to be in that moment.
Thank you.
I don't know that I can do this. Never mind. Right. So, you know, you're now going to take us through an exercise, which you're not.
Okay.
Okay.
Shall we deal with your resistance?
Yes.
Jane.
Yes, definitely.
I very much understand your fears and your concerns, you know, and, you know, maybe we can give it a go, see how you get on. And if at any point you're uncomfortable, then you can close.
Yes, of course I can, can't I? Yes, yes. I can always do that. Yes. Yeah. I would be careful about being too empathetic about understanding my closure, because I don't actually know what my concerns are. So if you tell me that you understand what they are, then that's that I'm being a bit at the moment.
I'm saying that I understand that you're concerned, that I understand your concerns.
I beg your pardon. That was about hearing, and it was about that I'm concerned. Okay. I mean, I know I breathe all the time, so let's do an exercise and that'll be fine. Yes. And indeed it will be, and it has been. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you for your questions. And
I think I very often say that, but actually I flag up two things. One is that we haven't addressed breathing in week one. And I think that's quite nice for people to realise that actually we've gone into all of this relaxation and everything else without looking at the breath, which so many techniques do on week one. And that's when we've got to breathe properly. And then people are telling us how to breathe before we do anything else. So actually our breathing in autogenics has sorted itself out all by itself because we have not been paying attention to it. We've had everything else going on in our autogenic exercises. And so when it comes to doing the breathing formula and the breathing exercise, it is actually nothing more than what has already been going on already. Mm. So, but you've beautifully explained the gaps. We're going to take more time on this one so you can be aware of the breath between the phrases. Lovely, 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 lovely.
Well done, Viv.
Yeah, you know, I've suddenly realised how beneficial it is to start working with a client earlier, because then all the prep work to produce the handouts and learn what I'm going to talk flows with the course better, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Lovely.
Yeah, because I'm on heaviness at the moment. Yeah.
Yes, of course.
I'm like, it's all about the heaviness. It's heavy. Yeah.
Everything's heavy.
I'm here.
2 weeks and 71 repetitions of heavy. Yes.
Yeah.
40 years of my right arm is heavy. Hey, well done. I think we've done well with that. I'm going to say briefly, how could we possibly have any contraindications for this formula? We wouldn't ever tell anybody not to do the breathing formula. I can't think of a single situation where we would. And adverse reactions, again, I think the only thing is that we might do is reduce, omit and postpone if need to. But I mean, everybody breathes.
Mm.
And very often the people who haven't got very much out of autogenics so far, when they get to this one, it's something that they actually can be aware of when they're practicing.
Mm.
You know of any? I can't remember, Donna. We should have learned our manual off by heart. I'm sure it doesn't say anything about contraindications there.
No, yeah, it does, actually. No, it does.
It does?
Yeah, it does. It says absolute none. And then it's just if people have bronchial and asthma. And then it's just to, if unpleasant effects persist, like during an asthma attack and whatever, then we can just, what is it says here? It says there could be very high level of anxiety, and maybe it would be helpful to suggest that they get in touch with a medical practitioner.
Okay. If it is that
really, really
prominent, shall we say, mm-hmm. Yes, I've never ever known that. I've had many more people say that their asthma has improved and they're forgetting to use their inhalers, you know, before, well before this point. Right. So I've never had anything like that. So I think that is there as a real caution, and you could put a big bracket around it, I think.
That's good to know. It's good. Mm. Excellent.
Okay. So an adverse reaction. Well, yes, just stop, close the exercise, come out of it, start something else and don't use it, and maybe reintroduce it next day. That's probably all you've got to do. And the other thing I very often do is, because when people get stuck with the words and they're just sort of, what is this it and what is other and so on. And you explained it beautifully, Bev, as far as you could go with it, but nobody can ever sort of say it exactly how somebody's going to experience it. Oh, so what? And people worry then that they're not breathing properly or something, and with these words, and they're trying to fit the words into the breath and the breath into the words and so on. And so very often I just say, look, leave out the words. So that is omitting, but stay with the breath.
Mm.
And just be aware of it. And as soon as you leave the words out, then the conscious lets go of it and it's just doing its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
Good.
Right. We could rattle through these last questions, could we?
That's it, isn't it? The next ones are from Sunday's tutorial.
Yes, but we haven't done question four.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Going backwards. Yep.
Okay. So, okay, how would you deal, let's have some fun with this. How would you deal with that painful person in the group who talks all the time and takes over? I'm one of those.
I would meet them.
You would meet them?
Yeah, if we were on Zoom, I'd mute them.
Sorry, I misheard. You would mute them. That's perfect. Absolutely perfect answer. Right. Yes, actually, it's a very good way to do it. In the real room, of course, you can't. Yeah.
Well, what I do with my groups, you know, I have guidelines.
Yes.
You know, first I just set it up and very clear boundaries and guidelines.
Yeah.
And if somebody is a pest,
yes,
then I just say, listen, I love to hear what you have to say, but just be mindful that that is not in our guidelines. So if you want to come to me after group, you can do it. And they always shut them up.
Indeed. That's a very good idea. Yes. And we've got it at the hospital, haven't we, Donna?
Mm-hmm.
There's sometimes people start to talk about things that are actually not relevant to what we are all here for. And that's the time. Yes. And there's always one. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then what about says AT isn't helping at all? Well, this is some resistance, isn't it?
Mm. Well, what I would do is I would talk to the person after class.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
And just find out a bit more about what's going on, maybe. Yeah.
If their time is there.
Yeah. And another thing to remind people is that it's not that it's going to help or cure or make well. Mm. On day one or two process. Or three, it's a process, and we don't know how that's going to unfold. So stick with it, you hope. But I mean, of course, some people will still walk away, and that's up to them. You suspect he's smoking dope.
I'd ask him where he gets his supply from.
I was just about to say the same, just for fun.
Actually, it's cheaper to do AT than to use dope. Once they've learned it.
But I
have to talk to them
after
class, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, they're doing two very powerful methods of altered states, mm-hmm. and they could conflict, and that could be very unhelpful.
I don't think if they were smoking it at the you know, not at the time, but you visibly under the effects of, I don't think I would run an AT exercise with them.
No, so absolutely not.
Wait till after the group. No. I would ask them to sit it out, or if it's
if they were actually under the influence.
Yeah,
the group.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would ask them to sit it out, or leave, or or something, but I wouldn't.
It would be if they're in a group, then actually take them out of the group and say, look, this really isn't appropriate. It's best that you leave now for your own safety and theirs as well. Yes.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right there.
And have you ever had those people?
No.
No. Oh, good. Okay. Phew. Good.
Because I think the ones who are really committed to the cannabis are never going to turn up for autogenics. Why would they?
They've not got, exactly, you know, because so, why would they?
Yeah. Yeah. So if they are really on the business, I suppose it might be possible that someone actually has been clean or whatever for a number of months and they really do want to learn AT and they've just had a relapse. That might be something to discuss and find out exactly where they are with it and what it was that made them pick it up again and so on. And you might be able to continue with them because they do butt themselves up again. And, you know, I had that a bit with anorexia, actually, that somebody had had anorexia well into the past, but autogenics had brought something up that was just triggering wanting to organise their food and exercise in the old style. She realised it was happening. It was good, and we talked about it, and it only lasted a couple of days, and then she, or maybe a week or something like that, but she knew she was really in control of it because she always had been, or since her recovery she had been. So it was a wobbly, but it was part of her process as well, so we could work with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Breaks down and cannot stop crying. Hand them the tissues. Do you want to go out for a walk and just talk to the trees for a little while? These tissues are not to stop you crying. They are to encourage you to cry for as long as you can. And while we are sitting here with you quite naturally wanting to stop crying, then that's not the real job that needs to be done. Invariably, nobody wants to go out of the room and leave it and so on, but that's what I always ask them to do. And one or two have over the years. But actually just say, I'm so glad to see you crying. Were you at the hospital with Stephen's story the other day, Donna? Maybe not. No, I think not. No, because of course he's at the end of the day. He had finished his first session with his group. And when he came up to reception, he found there was a whole lot of pandemonium going because somebody had burst into tears when they walked into reception, having just come out of his group. And everybody was rushing around trying to find help for him and everything else and everything else. So he was talking to me about it, you know, a week later. And I said, so how did you manage it? And he said, oh, I can't, well, now he couldn't remember or whatever, but, you know, he could sort of comfort or whatever, say some things. And I said, I wish I'd been there because I would have said, wow, you mean you've just finished your first session of autogenic training? This is your process, which is getting going straight away. I'm so sorry it's happening in a public place. I'm sorry for you on that one. I tell you what, you've still got to go home, wipe your eyes and dry your nose, perhaps pop to the loo and get yourself home and then get on with your crying. You're in touch with stuff already. I'm so impressed. And Stephen hadn't really realised that that might be a line that we could, a frame that we could put it in. So, so that's...
I think that's fabulous.
Well, I've seen it happen so often, not sort of so much in public. I mean, poor person, but had, must have had a difficult time with complete strangers who were all rushing around thinking they've got to make an emergency out of it. And of course, all we've got to do is normalise it. That's really all we're doing. Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. Seems to dump their anger in the group. I think this is all common sense. We're talking about it already, aren't we?
Hit them with a frying pan.
Say that again. Give them the frying pan.
Hit them with a frying pan.
Oh, you did say that.
I'll put one in my bag for next.
Yeah,
week.
I was going to say you've got quite a lot of luggage to take to your place of work, haven't you? Now tell me, Pierre, what are you doing with your anger? Right, you have to have some private conversations sometimes. Let's just leave it at that, really. We can't say how to manage it. Although when someone is completely unconscious, and it clearly is some dumping that everybody else is picking up, of course, and getting more and more irritated. Actually, Anne is the person to talk to with this. She used to be absolutely brilliant and say to the group, now, look, we are going to talk about this. We haven't got time today. But when we come back next week, we are all going to just revisit this situation today where a lot of anger has been engendered and we do need to talk about it. And then I don't know then whether a whole week sustained memories of it so that they could talk about it or whether they did it at the time. I don't know enough. But that's another way to deal with it as well. Let the group work it out with this person. You don't have to have all the answers. Interesting ideas. It's never quite happened. I've witnessed some dumping and I've said it sometimes. There is a lot of anger here, isn't there, Rod? Yeah, I think we're all picking it up. I wonder if you're dumping it a bit. Yeah, you can draw a little context about it. Yeah. Have you ever had that, Donna?
I had one again yesterday.
Oh, no!
Yesterday. She was very angry that something isn't available on prescription, and she was coming for me. Can you tell me why I can't get this supplement in this country on prescription? It's illegal. And we all kind of went, oh, okay, where did that come from? And I just said to her, I'm not a medical doctor. I actually don't understand. And I was kind of going to deal with it. And the other girl just went, why don't you just Google it? Yeah. She said, have you Googled it? And this woman said, well, no, I haven't. She said, well, why don't you start there? Just cut it dead.
Brilliant.
I thought, okay, I don't need to do anything then. She just stepped in and dealt with it.
Yeah.
Because she could, I suppose, because she could meet her on her own level.
Yes.
Rather than being the therapist.
So that was
that was handy.
That's very, very useful. I think the groups are actually very good at doing those
sorts
of things.
Yeah, they manage themselves.
Yes, they do.
A lot of the time.
And of course, the other side of it is there's for you to put yourself on the right level as well, saying, actually, this is not my field at all, and I don't know anything about it. So,
which is exactly what I said.
But you did, of course.
She's like, oh, all right then.
Okay. Right. Persistently challenges you and AT. I always encourage an offloading of anger exercise in that situation. I always say, put me in the chair. When you get home, put me in the chair and give me what for. Tell me all the language. It doesn't matter. You're not going to hurt me. You're just going to be helping yourself. If they haven't had the anger exercise, that's not so easy to do. Mm. So a quiet word afterwards can often soften. You had somebody way back, didn't you, Donna?
Yeah, I was just trying to think how I did deal with it.
You spoke to them and they began to cry once you were on their own with them.
Yeah. No, I think that was in the group. I just asked one question.
Oh,
and she just burst into tears in the middle of the group. But yeah, that was very, very challenging. But sometimes it's they'll come across as what will it do? Why will it work? How does it work? Coming at you, wanting you to fail. So I just pick that up and say, well, actually, I could give you the whole ins and outs of all of it, but we're here actually to turn this off and to get into the body. So I will answer questions, but I think we need to cool it down a bit and just get back to what we're doing.
Yes.
And turn this off a bit. And it's all, they don't know what to do with because they don't really know what I mean.
No.
Early stages.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. Then they start listening, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Or at least shush.
Yes.
And carry on.
So when did she start to cry? Or maybe that was another one.
Yeah, I think that might have been another. That was a bit further down. Same person, I think.
All right.
Okay. But it was with the crying exercise. She'd done it and nothing happened. And something about, I don't cry. Mm. And I just said one thing. I can't remember what it was now. Something about, well, would that be so bad? Or what's wrong with that? And floodgates opened.
Well done.
Yeah.
I love the way that just a simple question
can
actually hit that spot. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And yes, would that be so bad? That's a really good question, isn't it? It makes people stop and get past their murder like this. Yes. Mm. Right. We're getting there. Persistently offers advice to other group members. Shut up!
Frying pan.
Sorry? I missed
frying
that.
Pan. Frying pan.
Frying pan again, sorry. Yes. I don't know who wrote these questions. It might have been me having a hand in it. I don't know. Then we've got where's very strong, well, persistently offers advice. You've got to shut that down, of course, because we're only here for ourselves. That's the thing to say. Yes. We're just here for ourselves. It's none of our business what's going on for somebody else. Or take this elsewhere, please. It's not for now. Wears very strong perfume. I would have no qualms with that, but some people do, or I don't know that that would be an issue for me.
I've never come across it. I don't like strong smells, and I certainly wouldn't like smelly feet, I must admit, but I've never come across it.
No, I haven't either. I don't know why. I don't know who put that in here. Yes. And the smelly feet thing, that was the story of Anne's. When, you know, she encourages everybody to take off their shoes when they're in there, but then she realised that this guy had very, very smelly feet and it perhaps wasn't such a good idea. And yeah. I think from then on, she advised keeping the shoes on. I can't honestly remember the story. We'll have to ask her tomorrow. Yeah. I'll leave it to you to ask her tomorrow. Yeah.
So funny.
But again, I've never had that. I mean, to say, yes, people have taken their shoes off and sometimes there's a bit of a pong, but I mean, it blows out of the window as soon as it's happened. It really isn't an issue. That's my experience of it.
But that could be in the guidelines too.
It could.
Just say, just be mindful that people could be allergic to perfume, so please don't have strong perfumes on.
Perfume certainly. And then...
don't have smelly feet and don't fart.
Yes.
And then make fun of it.
Okay, we're going to have some quite interesting punchy guidelines, aren't we, before we start our courses.
I always do, and I make fun of it, and they remember it.
Yeah, of course. Yes, yeah. Put the humour in there. Absolutely. Yeah,
that's what I do.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've covered everything we need to cover today. We haven't got the feedback forms. I wonder if I could do something with those today. Because Patricia sadly couldn't do it. She was going to. So.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance either. It was on my sort of to-do list. And then I had an unexpected day with things.
Absolutely. Right. We have tomorrow at 9:30.
We do.
It's good.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you too. Thank you. It's interesting how these days sort of interweave into each other, don't they? All the sort of topics and sort of link up. That's lovely.
That's right.
You take care. Great. Okay. We'll see you tomorrow. Yes. Okay. All the best.
Donna.